Well, amen. Thank you, brother, for that song. That's a blessing. That needs to be all of our hearts, doesn't it? Here am I. Send me. I tell you, you say, what do I got to offer? Just understand this. God knows who we are. He knows what we have. He just wants us to be willing, right? Just be willing to be used wherever we are. He has you here for a specific purpose. You're not here by accident. God, He works in ways that are way above us. Even though over the last few months, I've been trying to figure out the mind of God and what's going on in our lives, but God has a plan. God has a plan. We just need to be reminded of that ever so often. Understand that He is in control. Well, again, it's a blessing to be here. We're so thankful that the Lord allowed us to be here. And our family has changed a little bit. Of course, I didn't introduce our family this morning, and they're all not in here tonight, but our family has changed since we were here before. We've given one away. Taylor got married in December, and then we added one about 4 months ago, and he's back in the cry room. He's in the school of Tammy Hard Knocks right now. He's 4 years old, and his name's Elijah, and of course, he is actually Raya's younger brother. Raya, Lord gave her to us about almost 5 years ago, I guess, something like that. She just turned six. And make a long story short, we had Elijah from when we brought him home from the hospital, had him for 10 months, sent him back to, or he went back to his mother. But through a series of circumstance, on the 4th of July, we got a call and things weren't well. And so we went and picked him up and have had him. And Lord, we're just going to see what the Lord does. We'd be willing to keep him if the Lord allows us to do so. And so we have 22, 19, 17, 6, and 4. All right. So. I tell you what, it's been something, but yeah. Whew. Anyway, well, I'm also thankful for your faithful support for our family over the last, it's been right at, well, we were here at your missions conference 3 years ago. Isn't that something? That's something how time flies. But also, it's an interesting scenario to be a part of a church's missions conference on your way to Australia, and then 3 years later, being a missions conference, not going there. All right, I mean that's a first really for me, obviously individually, but then even just in my time in being in church, that's a first. But I want to thank you for your faithful prayers while we've been on this journey, and that's exactly what it's been. I believe. That the Lord brought us on this journey and is still doing so. I told you I've tried to discern what's taking place and Lord, why this and why this and why this, and I've not got a lot of answers to the whys, but I don't believe that we misread the will of God 3 years ago. Let me step back, all right? I didn't even introduce my family. Those that don't know, my wife Tammy is in the back there. And then, of course, I introduced Taylor, who we gave away. Then there's Molly and Emma, and then Raya. And then Elijah is back in the back, all right? Now, let's get back to it. I don't believe I misread the will of God 3 years ago, and especially it's proven more true as we've just kind of, as time has went by, that our time at Emmanuel there in Dexter was over. And God did, there's no doubt about it. God did indeed burden my heart on that mission trip, and I believe called us to go to plant a church in Australia, but the door never opened. And you can't just force yourself into a country. Now, of course, I guess America, you can kind of do that. But Australia, you can't do it, all right? Their borders are water, okay? So unless you know the breaststroke very well, you can't get in there. But the Australian government, like many others, have taken advantage of this COVID power to literally change the way folks enter their country. Now, maybe also their mind is to guard that, but the visa, of course, Brother Carr, who is sent out of this church, even Brother Shrope there out of Breen in Springfield, the religious visa, the third part that they obtained is a permanent resident visa, and that's what was allowed when we started our deputation. That's what we were going for. But in this process, and again, as your pastor said, during COVID and following, they changed that from a permanent resident visa, which basically once you're approved for that, you're there. Unless you do something very silly, you're there. Only thing you can't do is vote and hold office. And so you're in. But they changed that to a 2-year, and here's the key, a non-renewable. You know, some countries I've heard through the years where you'd get a visa to a country, you'd go there for a set time, then you'd go out of the country, renew it, and go back. Well, this is as of right now, it's a 2-year non-renewable. So once you're there for 2 years, you're done. And so obviously we couldn't go and get established and settled and move our whole family and spend all that money to go there for 2 years and be done. I also tried to do a work visa. I've done heating and air conditioning, refrigeration for many years. I've done that in the Air Force. And several years afterwards, I tried that, but just never really got any traction with that. It just really never come to pass. And one thing was hindrance was my, I never thought I'd say this, was my age. All right. To apply independently, you have to be 45 years or under. Now you can still be hired, but there's doors never opened. Contacts, obviously that was a limit. But anyway, it just never got any response from that. And you know, there's never been a time in my life, I don't believe, that when the verses that we find, now this is not the text, I'll just make reference and we'll move on. I might make reference to this again. But there's likely never been a time in my life when the verses and out of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, have been more real. If you recognize that, that's where God says that basically, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are way higher than our thoughts. Even though we try, well, I'll just say me, I try to figure it out. I want to get my mind around it, but there are times, there are things in our life that we just can't understand. We just can't, our finite minds, we just can't wrap those little brains around it. And I don't begin to understand the sovereign working of God, but I do believe He works. I believe He works, and He has plans, and He has directions, and He does as He wills. He has a purpose. He has a plan, no doubt about it. The book of Acts, we'll be there in just a moment. The book of Acts tells us that He intervenes, and I'm thankful He does. He intervenes in the affairs of man. And our part in that is to seek to be open to that leadership. As a brother saying, just say, here am I, send me. God, whatever you have me to do, be a faithful member right here. Be actively involved in the various ministries that are offered here, trying to reach this community and the regions beyond, or just whatever. God, you know who I am. He made us. He knows exactly who we are, knows what we have to offer, knows how He wants to use us and desires to do so. And so our part is to seek to be open to His leadership and not resist it when He leads and directs us. Now there's been a portion of Scripture that the Lord has really, let me step back and say this also. There have been some that in this process have said that, well, you have some support. Why don't you just go to this field or go to this field? Matter of fact, we have a missionary out of Berean in Albania, Brother Kurt King, and was talking to him one time, and he made the statement, "What are you going to do if you don't get in Australia?" I said, "I don't know. What do you think?" I said, "I'll tell you right what to do. Come to Albania, and obviously go there and be." And you know what? I would go anywhere to help anyone, right? I mean, but you know what? I believe you got to be called. I believe God has to be behind it because just use that scenario, I take my whole family to a foreign country and when, not if, but when trying times come and trials, I'd be ready to tuck my tail and run. Unless God was the one that said, I want you there. And so I believe you need to be called, have direction from God Almighty. Because listen, we don't need volunteers on the mission field. We don't need that. We need those that are called and directed of God. And the reason I say that again is because when trouble and trials come, you're going to tuck tail and run outside of the call of God. And so God has only really burdened my heart for a couple areas. Australia is one of them. Still have a burden and concern for Australia, but it seems that door is closed. And the other has been the southeast part of Missouri. When I was in the Air Force, I got saved in 94. So we would go back on leave and we'd go back to our hometown area and we'd try to find a church for us just to go to when we were there. We couldn't find one. Of course, I didn't know much. I'd just gotten saved and I knew you used the King James Bible, knew a few things. I had a 4 or 5 questions but you know what? I began to look in the phone book and there wasn't even many churches to call. Much less that had the right answers. And so through a series of time, we found this, independent Baptist church in Poplar Bluff, Missouri, Faith Baptist Church. And so when we would go visit, we would, attend that church, And then, obviously, always having a burden for the area, we went to Springfield and worked there at Berean for a time. And we're really going towards possibly starting a church in Sikeston, Missouri. Let me just say, put a plug here, a town of about 15,000, zero independent Baptist churches here. Cape Girardeau, Missouri, a town of about 50,000, one independent Baptist church there. Just south of St. Louis and the east side, they're just few and far between. But in that process, the church in Dexter, Emmanuel Baptist Church, the pastor resigned, and we ended up, the Lord directed us there. We were there for a time. But our heart has always been in that southeast part of Missouri. And my wife reminded me of this, that back in 2003, we were driving around, and we were actually driving around Poplar Bluff. But at that time, again, there was Faith Baptist Church there, and so just didn't have peace. But then 2004, we went to Dexter. And so fast forward, almost, close to 20 years, 18 years, whatever the time frame is, Faith, about a year and a half ago, closed. The church closed, just whatever the problem was, I'm not sure. And so now in Poplar Bluff, there is about 25,000 people that Poplar Bluff outside, that's not including the small towns that it services. And so there's a good number of people there. And there's one independent Baptist church on the extreme north side. I'll just say this, it's a church that I couldn't lead my family to join. All right. Not that we're going on there to be in competition with them. Matter of fact, I'm going to try, Lord willing, to go as far south as we can to try to find a place to meet, and begin to reach on the south and the west side of Poplar Bluff. And so, the Lord began to open some doors as He was closing the door to, Australia. It seems that there was a, because we began to go as we were on deputation, we would, had opportunity, we would swing by there. That area, and we would visit our family because we think, hey, we're going to be in Australia. We need to take every opportunity. And so again, I was reminded of, there's just nowhere to take my family to church. We'd have to do live stream or whatever. And so even during that deputation time, it seems that God was just renewing that burden for that particular area of Missouri. And so with the help of God, the direction of God, and we'll be, of course, sent out of Berean Baptist there in Springfield, we're going to start the Liberty Baptist Church in Poplar Bluff, Missouri. And so we've moved there. We have a house. We've got settled in. And so now we're just trying to find a meeting place, and that's probably the main prayer request I might have ask you to pray for, that the Lord would just open the door for us to find a place to meet. We've looked at a couple storefronts. Some of them have to have a lot of, you know, destruction, reconstruction kind of a deal. I was talking with a pastor about possibly, and I've been in contact with a Seventh-day Adventist church. Of course, they meet on Saturdays, and we could use it on Sunday. And so we've kind of looked at that as well. So just pray with us, if you would, as we would seek to find a place. Our goal is to start in January, but if we could find a place to meet, we could kind of expedite that a little bit and begin meeting as soon as possible. We're working on various things now, advertising and such like that. But you know, until you have a place to invite them to, it's kind of you're kind of limited, all right? Matter of fact, people look at you strange when you know, where do you go to church? Well, I hear you're a pastor. Yes, where are you pastor? Well, Liberty Baptist Church. Well, where do you meet? Well, we don't have a building yet. Huh, okay, that's interesting. So anyway, so I'm getting a few of those looks, but that's all right. I just grin and keep on going, and we'll just Lord willing, try to do it. The Lord's, again, provided us a house, and again, we're just looking forward to getting there, or getting a place and beginning to meet, all right? Now, look in your Bibles. Don't stand yet, all right? But take your Bibles, look to Acts 16, all right? Acts 16, let me say something, and then we'll read the first 13 verses. I'll have you stand just a moment. But this portion of Scripture, God has used this in my life the last 3 years. My family, we've talked about this. They've heard me preach around this portion of Scripture. And it seems as though the Lord emphasizes a different part in my life. They might think, well, I can preach this whole message. I don't know about you. But, well, the Lord emphasizes a different aspect of it. And that just reminds me how alive the Word of God is. Because even God used this portion of Scripture in verse number 9 to burden my heart to go to Australia, to go and help, to be a... to start a Baptist church, independent Baptist church, in that area, verse number 9. But as we go through it, you'll see, and I'll point that out, that he not only used it to call me there, but also to sustain us as we were preparing to go. And then also as we got there, he used it to call me there, used it to sustain us on deputation, and even continued to use it in looking forward to get into the field. And again, I'll clear that up in just a moment. And then even in this transition. And this has been a transition. This is not what we had in mind. This is not the direction that we were preparing for. But again, God, who is God, has every right to do what He wants, when He wants, if He wants. He has that right. And so God has used this, and I hope it'll be a help to you. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, but we're going to make mention of the entire chapter, all right? We're going to look at the latter part, because kind of give a testimony and preach the first part of this. And then as far as a message, of course, God's Word's alive and He can use it all, no doubt about it. But we'll look at the entire chapter. There's some tremendous truths that can be a help to us found in the Scripture. Right? Now stand with me. Let me read to you these first 13 verses. You follow along as I read. And again, we'll eventually look at the whole chapter, so just leave your Bible open right there. We'll pretty much stay right here in Acts chapter number 16. The Bible says, "Then came he to Derbe, Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish and believed. But his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they knew all that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them decrees for to keep, that they were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily." So basically the gospel is moving forward. Churches are being started and being established and strengthened and helped. The Apostle Paul and those who are traveling with him, again, are going through, visiting and encouraging and challenging in the faith. Now the Bible says in verse 6, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Asia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Asia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assured the gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothra," "the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." All right, we'll stop right there, because then he begins to go into the various groups of people, the individuals that he deals with, he and his company deal with throughout the rest of this chapter. Let's have prayer and you can be seated. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness again. Thankful, God, for the opportunity to gather here. Thankful for the purpose that we're gathered here. We're gathered here to hear from you tonight, to be challenged as our responsibility in seeking to reach the lost, that our hearts, I do pray that over the course of the next few days that there would be a revival of the Great Commission. We would just be reminded of the responsibility we have to reach this world with the gospel of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that your blessing be upon the reading of the word, the preaching of it, the application. God, that you'd speak to hearts. Lord, you know the needs. And I pray you'd minister hearts as long as you can. And then God, I pray that as you do speak, that we'd respond. We'd just agree together tonight that as you speak to us, we'll respond as we heard saying a little while ago, "Here am I, send me." Father, thank you again for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. Now again, this is a familiar portion of Scripture. This is what's been called or referred to as a Macedonian call. It speaks of a man of Macedonia, but we know it's God. right? God don't speak to us in visions any longer. I'm not saying when I said that God used this portion to burden my heart, it wasn't that I heard an audible voice, I didn't have a vision, but God used His Word. I believe He speaks to us, He communicates to us through His Word. He speaks to us, He gives us direction and guidance through the Spirit of God, coupled with the Word of God in the hearts of mankind, no doubt about it. And so God's time was prompt and on time, in that He was calling the Apostle Paul and his company. Literally what we see is God opening the door. He closed the door, and again, He has every right to do so. He closed the door, and then He opened the door, for the Apostle Paul and his company to go into Macedonia, literally taking the gospel to the west. And eventually, of course, he goes to the town of Philippi, and I believe this is the beginning, the work that we would find the church in Philippi. He writes the book of Philippians to a little bit later. These are some of those likely. Now we don't have a membership role, so I don't know exactly, but I just feel very strongly that they were a part of that church in Philippi. But understand, God will not leave us ignorant of His will when we're seeking to follow it. If we have a desire to do what God would have us to do, He's going to direct us. Amen. Right? As a matter of fact, if we would do, God, what would you have me to do? I'm going to tell you, He'll give us direction. Now, we might not like that direction, but He's going to give us direction if we seek that direction. He wants us to be where we're supposed to be and doing what He calls us to do. And so God wants us to find His will, to seek His will, to follow that will, to be faithful to that will, and then just be determined enough to finish that will. God, I'm just going to have some stick-to-itiveness. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I tell you, it's good practice, all right? Just to do, just plod along and do what God would have us to do. And as we see from the early part of our reading, the gospel was on the move. We made mention of that in those first five verses. The gospel was on the move. Churches were being established and strengthened. Paul had a desire to take the gospel to Asia, but the Bible says God said no. The door's shut. The Spirit of God said no. God had closed that door again so He could open the door to Europe. And you know, we should get just a little bit excited tonight, because what we see unfolding before us is the gospel moving to the west, to Europe, which eventually would move to America, of whom we're recipients of this. And so I'm thankful that I can stand here tonight, and I can that the Apostle Paul was sensitive to the leadership of God. Now, Paul could have said, and we could do this in some instances, he could have said, bless God, I'm going anyway. I want to take the gospel to Asia. That's where I've planned to go, and I'm going to go anyway. But I'm thankful that we read that he was sensitive to that leadership. God said no, and he wanted to go to Asia, but God said no. And he could have forced the door open, but he didn't. And I've heard people say this, and I understand what they're saying. I've heard people say, you can't take the gospel to the wrong address. And I understand that everybody needs to be saved. But do you understand that we can take the gospel to the wrong address? We can't. If God is not at work, it's not like we're forcing people and forcing the gospel on people. We need to be discerning that God is at work. If God is not at work, I know you've knocked on doors before, and you can just tell God's not working here. And there are those that would seek to force themselves and begin, or force the message and even force prayers and things like that. That's not what we need to be about. We need to leave the door open, or leave the Word of God and let God work and prepare for someone coming behind us. So I guess that's what I was about to say. Leave the door open for somebody coming behind us. All right. Not to take advantage of the situation. And so again, I understand that, but we can take the gospel to the wrong address if God is not leading us. God does, as a matter of fact, He would indicate to us in a parable, the parable of the sower, that a good number of people, they're not even at a place to receive the Word of God. Matter of fact, if we do numbers, only a quarter of those that he talked about, the various soils, the four types of soils, and only a quarter of them was even at a place ready to receive it. Right? And I think that really, I mean, again, God's not held to statistics, but as you talk to people and deal with people, hearts are hard. Hearts are thorny and full of the cares of the world and all these kinds of things. And so we need to be very discerning as we're dealing with people, trying to reach them with the gospel, seeking God's direction and discerning as to the condition of their heart. Not that we can see their heart, but we can sense if God is at work or not. Then if not, we just need to sow the seed and let God continue to do the work in their heart with the Word of God. Even though Paul and his group had a desire to take the gospel to Asia, God said no. And you know, that kind of has taken place in our life. We had a desire. And you know what? It even went beyond a desire. It went beyond that. Matter of fact, the little word that God just kind of used in this last few months in my life is the little word assayed. Again, this just, because after God said no to Asia, and after they were come to Asia, they assayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And that word, the word assayed means to have examined, to tested, to prove by experiment. In other words, it went beyond a desire. There was some preparation and thought and intent in going to Asia, but again, God said no. And again, we have went beyond a desire, and we began to make preparation, sold our things, had an auction and sold most of our goods and all these kinds of things and made preparation to go to Australia to live forever. But God has said no. Even though we essayed to go there, God has said no. Understand, our faith and obedience is not it's not only tested by being asked to do something difficult. It's also tested when we have to accept from God something that don't make sense. That don't make sense to us. It makes very good sense to God. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands saying, "Oh my, I don't know what to do." No, he has a plan. We just have to be open and yielded and willing to be submissive to that. And try to just, I tell you, over the last several months, I've just tried to do the next right thing. Do the next right thing and do the next right thing. God, I want this. Give me direction. Give me help. Give me understanding. Do the next right thing. Because again, sometimes it's not, he not only tests us with something hard, he tests us with something that just doesn't make sense. We could go on and on through many, many examples from the Word of God of things that just didn't make good sense. Think of Gideon when he was sent to attack preparing to attack that massive Midianite army. And God began to whittle them down to where it didn't make any sense at all, right? If you just add it up and use common sense, which is kind of lacking in our day, but if you use good common sense, it didn't make good sense. For 300 to go against that, but God. I mean, you can insert those two words right there, and that just takes care of a lot of things that don't make sense. God intervened. And he does that over and over and over again. Marching around Jericho for 7 days might have seemed foolish to the Israelites, but the walls came down, didn't they? They sure did. And God got the glory and the victory in that, bringing the Israelites to the edge of the Red Sea. Were they being closed in on by the Egyptian army and the sea? It might not have been a good battle strategy. They got to open the waters. They walked across. The army came behind him. God let the waters go. God did. He got a victory there, didn't he? Didn't make good sense. Made very good sense to God because God was moving. Again, we could go on and on and on and on. But understand this. God's ways are much different and more effective than ours. Right? I mean, they just are. They just are. Naaman thought it was pretty useless when he was told to go to the River Jordan and dunk himself 7 times to be healed. But after a time, after some encouragement, he did it. And what happened? He was healed. Right? I mean, it just didn't make good sense. He allowed David to be hunted by King Saul for some 16 years in the wilderness before David was crowned king of Israel. Didn't make good sense, but it was God. So again, on and on and on. God's ways and timing, again, are difficult to understand sometimes. And it might not make sense when God tells us that we're to love our enemies. That don't make good sense, does it? It just, I mean, to the natural man. I mean, read through the Beatitudes. They don't make good sense to the natural man. But they make very good sense, spiritually speaking. Other things like being exalted, exalted from being humble. Don't make sense. Strength comes through weakness. That gain comes from giving. That freedom and ruling comes from serving others. That living comes from dying to self. Right? Again, these things don't make good sense. That we become wise by being fools for Christ's sake. Right? It's certain God's thoughts, again, are not ours. His ways are way higher than our ways. Faith recognizes God's wisdom is far above our wisdom, no doubt about it. And as we read this portion of Scripture, now we can't get into the mind of the Apostle Paul here, but there's no doubt he's wondering, scratching his head, why not? Why can't we go on to Asia? Why about my Asia? But we don't read about him complaining or criticizing or fretting. He just kept moving for God. He just kept seeking the direction of God, and God said, here's a door that's open. And we can understand this tonight, that if God shuts a door in our life, we just need to continue to trust Him and follow Him, because when He shuts a door in one area, He can and will open another one as we seek to follow, just seek to follow Him. God, I just want to follow You. I want to do what You would have me to do. I want to be where You would have me to be, doing what You want me to do, even if it doesn't make sense. That makes sense. God speaks again and gives direction through the Word of God. And again, we notice that after that call was given, it was heeded and they began to prepare. And again, that's how God used in my life as we began this journey. Well, right at 3 years ago, after they had seen the vision. Now, again, I didn't see a vision, but we endeavored to go to Macedonia. Again, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course. And so basically, they made preparation. They got things in order and they began to make their way there. And that's what we've done those last years. But again, God seems to have shut the door. But understand this, God had called them. And they had gathered, assuredly gathered, they got the mind of God on the matter. And the Bible says in verse number 11, they came with a straight course. Now, I'm not much of a sailor, all right, but I understand that by doing a little study, that's kind of a nautical term. They came with a straight course. In other words, they had the wind at their back. And I believe a good application would be that they could feel the wind of God blowing them in that direction. Not saying that they wouldn't face a hindrance, because listen, they're going to face it. We'll look at it just real briefly here in a moment as they begin to face hindrances along the way. But even in the time, and we can even say it like this, that we've begun to, in our lives, we faced a little hindrance from the Australian government. And in this change that has taken place. And again, I don't believe that it's not that God doesn't want us there. Now understand this, I know God that if He wanted us there, He could get us there, right? No doubt about it. But this is just something that I've thought on, that maybe it is that Australia, a prosperous country, thumbed their nose at God. We don't need the gospel. We don't want the Word of God. We don't need the Word of God. Maybe it is that God says, all right. You know, we talked this morning about how long God will allow us to be in the valley of decision. Maybe it is Australia says, we don't want the gospel. So maybe it is, again, I can't get in the mind of God. Maybe God would say, okay, you don't want it? I'm going to allow the leadership in position that will make it such that missionaries can't get there. Now maybe that's the scenario that we have before us, and so we've met with resistance in that scenario. But we can feel the wind of God blowing us along the way. We can feel Him, feel that. And of course, the Bible speaks about the Spirit of God being that referred to or likened to the wind blowing us along, doing what God would have us to do. And another truth about this call was that Paul obeyed when he got there. There was a people prepared for him. Do you think it was an accident that when they got to Philippi and they went out to the head, and the Bible says, and on the Sabbath, they went out of the city by the riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we stopped there in verse 9. There was a prayer meeting taking place. And it just so happened that Lydia and some other women were gathered there, and they just so happened to invite Paul to speak. No, that's God. That's God. That's God knowing that Asia is not ready. It'll come. But right now, Paul, I want you to go over towards Macedonia. There's some people over there that are ready. There are people over there that are seeking my will, my word, and they want to know the truth, and I'm going to send you there. And that's exactly what we, people that needed the truth. And I'm convinced. I'm convinced that God, wherever God directs us, that not just me and our family, but usins, all right, everyone in here, where God directs us, He's going to have a people prepared for us to minister to. You mean like at my job? Yeah. At your job, at your school, at your grocery store. God puts us in, and God intervenes in the affairs of man. He intertwines our lives as believers so that we can be an influence to this lost and dying world. I'm just simple enough to believe that. That God has a people prepared for us as He did for the Apostle Paul and his group. Because folks, listen, folks need the truth of the Word of God. They don't need religion. They need salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what we're going to do when we get there. Well, we're there. We're there. Again, it's kind of hard to invite someone. Of course, we can seek to begin to share the gospel with people. But so we're limited right now in that. But we're seeking our neighbors and trying to get in good with our neighbors. And of course, I drove a school bus in Dexter for 12 years. And you know what's been kind of a funny kind of a joke for us? Not really a joke, but just kind of funny. We drove all across the country. And just about every town we drove through, there was a big yellow bus it says hiring drivers, right? So there's a bus driving shortage nationwide. And so I made the mistake. I don't know if it's a mistake or not. No, it's not a mistake. I drove by the bus garage the other day there in Poplar Bluff, and I pulled in just going to talk to the head guy, and he ended up wanting to hire me, all right? And you say, well, you're going to get a job there? Well, listen, my motive is to drive a bus to, just like we did there in Dexter, is to be around people. I mean, there's 50 other bus drivers, not to mention a bunch of wild kids on those buses who have families. That you have an opportunity to have an influence in their life. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to just kind of get around people and try to win them to Christ, invite them to the house of God, and seek to allow God to build a New Testament Baptist church, because it's the heart of God that all would come to know Him as Savior. That's the heart of God. That's His desire. Every individual would be saved by the grace and goodness of God Almighty. So let's look for a little bit. Let's move on. Let's move on down to the individuals that we find that he came across. Because listen, there are all kinds of people in this world. All sinners, listen, he deals with people all the same way. And there's a common theme. I'm not going to be long after this. This is quick right here. Pretty quick, okay? But we see God dealing with some people, and God's desire is to use every one of us to be an influence in the lives of people. It's His desire. And we rub shoulders with all kinds of different people. And the first one that we find, and we already spoke about her, is Lydia. And this is one that we could call a religious soul. She was religious, right? She was having a prayer meeting. They were talking about God. But they were ignorant of the truth of salvation. And then we find in verses 12 to 15 that they come to this prayer meeting, and they were thankfully that these women cared enough about God. They were at least seeking the truth, if you will. And the Bible says that Paul was invited to speak. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says that when she heard Paul speak, God opened her heart. And you wonder what Paul said. You don't got to wonder long. Right? I mean, we don't know exactly. We don't have the text of Scripture, but there's no doubt that he made reference to some Old Testament account and made a beeline for the cross of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that as Paul was speaking, the Bible says that God opened the heart of Lydia, and she was attentive to the things that he was speaking. And we made reference this morning the importance of the Word of God. It's vital in the lives of individuals. They must hear from the Word of God. It's a Word of God that brings a sinner to the Savior. It's a Word of God that shows a person their need and brings conviction to their heart. And that's exactly what was being done here. It's as if God was saying in the heart of Lydia, as Paul was speaking, it's true, Lydia. All of the types and all of those Old Testament sacrifices, they're pointing right to what he's preaching. It's true, it's true, it's true. And I'm thankful that Lydia responded with a yes. God was able to break through this religious heart. And he was a breakthrough and open it. And she received the truth of the Word of God. Could she have said no? Sure. People do it all the time. Right? They're brought to a place of conviction. They're convinced of the truth of the matter. But for whatever reason, they hold back. Pride is the reason. I mean, you can name it any number of ways, but all come back to just the matter of pride. She could have said no. And it's likely that maybe at times there might be someone here tonight that is at the point of receiving Christ, but have said no. Or maybe you can relate at times in your life before you got saved where you said no to the offer of salvation, even though there was conviction taking place in the heart, in your heart. But I'm thankful that Lydia responded with a yes, and God changed her life. I mean, that's what we see here. She opened her home up to these preachers. And matter of fact, when they come back through, she opened her home again. Bible talks about her. She was baptized. That's, of course, after she got saved. You see that order all throughout the New Testament. Salvation, then baptism, and then service and growth in a person's life. There's no doubt there's a change after meeting Christ. And so Lydia was open to the things of God. She was religious, but she was unsaved. And so, likely you have some religious family. I have some religious family. Have some religious friends, if you will, acquaintances, that are religious, but lost. And understand this, God's desire is to use us, not to argue with them, not to argue, and not to be demeaning, but to love them enough to tell the truth. And be sensitive when God opens a door, to walk through that door, and to speak a word, and to do it in love, right? To do it in love, not in an arrogant, demeaning way. Seek to depend upon the Word of God. Again, it's not going to be our words. You know, I've knocked doors with people through my Christian life that, I mean, all they wanted to do was argue. I'm talking about my partners, all right? I'm not talking about the people on the other side of the door. And you know what? I've never seen anyone door knocking win an argument. It's worthless. It's worthless. Have a desire to share the Word of God, what God has done in our life, share God's Word with them and move on, right? And understand this, that God, don't give up on those who are religious. Don't give up on them. Continue to pray. Continue to take opportunity to refer back to the truth of the Word of God. Second of all, we could call in verse 16 to 18 the rebellious soul. The Bible says there was one, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination, which brought her masters much gain. Same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." She did this many days. And the Bible says, Paul, being grieved, turned and said unto the Spirit, "I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. And so we have one that's possessed with a devil. And how contradicting would it be to be preaching the Word of God, going forth and have this devil behind you, attesting to the truth. But that, of course, gives some meaning to the scripture that says that the devils believe and tremble. They knew, but they're not a saving faith, mind you. Now, I don't know if this young lady got saved. Have no idea, all right? But I do know this. That the devil had his grips on her before the Apostle Paul and his company came. And at the mention of Jesus Christ, those grips were released. The power of the Word of God. Jesus, the living Word of God, the written Word of God. There's power in the Word of God to break through a religious soul. Someone that you think, well, they're so sincere, they're so tied up. God's Word has the ability to do so. There are those that are rebellious and anti-God. And we live in a society, don't we, that's anti-God, that's out and out rebellious. And we think, man, there's just no hope for this generation. Oh yeah, there's hope. As long as we have the Word of God, there's hope to break through those and release those blinders, if you will, those grips from those that are rebellious. Again, it doesn't say, but I tend to believe. We'll find out when we get to heaven, all right? We'll meet up there. Look this lady up. Right? Hopefully, I believe she's there. Because, you know, the Bible says that miracles were used for an opportunity to preach the gospel. And no doubt this is an undeniable miracle. So likely the word of God was preached, and so I'm just hoping that she got saved. But either way, the devil had his grips on her before, loosed after. The power of the word of God. And then last of all, and this is my favorite, but we won't spend a whole lot of time here. I'll do best I can. In verses 23 and following, all the way to verse 34, this is where some of the hindrances begin to come. Satan is losing ground. Lydia and her company, they had the religious blinders on. The Apostle Paul messed it all up by preaching the gospel, and she got saved. Likely others got saved. He had his grips on this young damsel, and now she's been freed from that influence for a time. And so the Bible says that she gets stirred. When the masters saw that the hope of their gains were gone, verse 19, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them in the marketplace under the rulers, brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city." And we know what happens. They get beaten and thrown into prison. So again, Satan is losing ground. And mind you, when Satan begins to lose ground, he begins to work. He don't care tonight. He doesn't care if you have a Bible. He could care less if you have three or four or five Bibles. But when we begin to open the Bible on a regular basis, read the Word of God, and allow God to work in our heart, that's when he recognizes, hey, I'm losing ground. I'm losing ground in that person's life. I need to go into action. I need to bring some distraction, some disturbance. If you'll bring a little dissension in their family or in the church, he could care less about church attendance. He could care less. But when we begin to actively involve ourselves, that when we actually listen, right? When we listen, have you ever been to church and not been here? Don't answer, because the answer is yes. Right? You hope that a pastor wouldn't be at church and not be there. But when I have sat in a pew, I've been there and not been there. My mind's 100 miles away. Satan likes that kind of stuff. He likes it when we're not engaged and listening and attentive to the things of God, knowing that God can do some amazing things. You understand, God can do some amazing things with this church here tonight. Oh my. Some amazing, amazing things. And so, anyway, he begins to see it, go into work and try to disrupt the gospel. But we know what happens. You know the rest of this account here. They get thrown in prison. This jailer comes and he takes them. And again, I don't think the transition was a gentle transition. They'd just been beaten. And the Bible says he put their feet in stocks, put them in the inner prison. I believe it was a very intense transition. I don't believe he just gently let him in there. Could you please lay down? Let me help you put your feet up here. Put them in the stocks real nice. No. Likely throwing them down. Very rough on them. This was likely a rough individual. Again, we don't know a lot, but understand, I don't think you could be a sissy and be a jailer. Right? I mean, I've heard some people say that sometimes Roman soldiers who couldn't do the duties any longer retire would become jailers, right? So whether that's true or not doesn't matter. Likely this was a rough individual. So he gets them in that port, and we know what takes place. At midnight, the Bible says that Paul and Silas began to complain and murmur and cry out and ask God, "Why'd you put us here? We were doing your work. We followed your will here. We followed your direction." No, we don't read that, do we? If you're saying yes, no. Don't amen there, because that's not true. We don't read that. We read that the Bible says that they prayed and sang praises unto God. That was their response. And this rough individual, he comes to the place where he says, of course, the Bible says that there's an earthquake takes place, all the doors open, and the jailer thinks, man, everybody's gone. And so, of course, in that culture, the jailer was responsible with his life. And so those that would escape, he would have to take on their sentence. So he sees all the doors open. He thinks, I'm good as dead. He almost kills himself. And remember what Paul says? Hey, we're here. Don't harm yourself. Do thyself no harm. We're all here. And the Bible says he came. He sprang in and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This rough individual was brought to a place where he asked the greatest question, and may I say the most important question of mankind. What do I do to got to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And the Bible says in verse number 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And notice verse 32. Here it is. Here's the common theme once again. "And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hours of the night, was washed, he washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway." So this hardened individual was brought to a place of repentance and willingness to trust Christ as Savior. does God use His Word to break through religious and rebellious and even rough. But you know what? Another thing I believe took place in this individual's life that we need to be mindful of was the act of compassion. You think, when he saw those doors open, he thought, "They're gone, I'm dead, I'm just going to kill myself." And Paul said, "Listen, don't do yourself no harm, we're here." Could you imagine in his mind, why do they care about me? What in the world? I'm going to tell you, people don't care how much we know. You've heard this, until they know how much we care. Right? Acts of compassion. So while God ultimately used His Word, and it is His Word that breaks through the heart of mankind, no matter what sort of life they live, I believe that God used an act of compassion to put a little crack in the heart of this rough individual. And then God used, of course, ultimately His Word to bring this man and his house to a point of salvation. He was brought to Christ through the power of the Word of God. And listen, there's all kinds of people in this world and even in this room tonight, but the common need is salvation. And God dealt with this religious soul, this rebellious soul, and this rough soul, all with the Word of God. And His desire is to use us in the lives of individuals that we work with, and also individuals that we know we don't even know about. Right? These missionaries, the missionaries that is supported by this church. You understand that that's an extension of your witness. As we involve ourselves in the giving, it's not like, "Well, I'm going to go so I don't got to give," or "I'm going to give so I don't got to go." No. It's collective. We need to be giving and going. Right? Not every one of us is going to be called to a foreign field, but all of us are called to be an influence. We're all called, and God has a plan and purpose for every individual. And you know what? I tell you, one of the most, and I use this, I don't know the best word to use, but one of the most liberating things in my Christian life was when I recognized that it's not me. It's not my words. It's not my money. Right? It's not me. It's God. It's God working through me. Right? And through you. That's His desire. That's His desire, to use every individual. God wants to use us in the lives of people around us, like those that are religious and rebellious and rough. And we just need to seek to rely on the Word of God. The power of God unto salvation. The Gospel, the Word of God Almighty. And so thank God for the investment of this church in missionaries around the world. But again, that's not enough. There is a community around you. And I was talking with Pastor Merrick here that sounds like it's going to be growing. Right? The new plane that's coming, those that are going to be moving here, new individuals to be an influence in their life. So you're here for a specific purpose. God has put you, of course, we understand that. It's the church is His body. He puts us and places us where we're to be, where we can be used of Him. Right? No matter for the little toe or the thumb or whatever, God fits us together so that we can be a fit body working and being an influence in the community around us. All right? Stand with me and let's have a word of prayer.